Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's May 9th, 2006, and this is show number 9. On today's show, we throw out the question, what did you want to be when you grew up? Also, we talk about the hazards of stress, Play-Doh cologne, and share some highlights from our recent speaking tour.
Podcast show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason. I'm here with my wife, Kim, coming
Hello.
To you from Madison, Wisconsin. Pretty rainy day today.
Yes, we are getting some typical Wisconsin spring weather.
Yes, it is spring, and
but
the rain is here.
The green grass is making it all worthwhile.
Long overdue, yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's kick things off with a song.
Sounds
and
good.
This is by a fellow by the name of Rich Hamlin, I'm going to say.
Okay.
I don't know. That's my best guess. The song is called Children Again, so take a listen.
It's so peaceful every day. Butterflies are dancing, feeling the rays of that bright boy shining his gaze. He's so peaceful, chasing the day. It's wonderful, smiling away. The little girl is laughing, making us pray for tomorrow's hugging twinkle. The brown and the gray, she's wonderful, rainbow's rain. Find out what you love, find out what you love, find out where you're really going. Find out what you love, find out what you love, find out where you're really going. It's so perfect, I'm feeling saved. The forest my life's taking tingles my brain. There's a bright blue sky. What more can I say? Life's so perfect, children again. Find out what you love, find out what you love, find out where you're really going. Find out what you love, find out what you love, find out what you're really forgetting about. It's so peaceful every day. Butterflies are dancing, feeling the rays of that bright, bright boy shining his gaze. Time to join him, children again.
Well, that was Children Again by Rich Hamlin. And we hope you like that. You can find that song at garageband.com, and we'll have a link to that in our show notes. So I don't know, we've been having some acoustic stuff. I kind of like the acoustic kind of thing, but we'll see we maybe we'll mix it up and get some different stuff in here. But
if anybody has any tips for or you know songs,
any songs,
to share,
yeah, trying to keep like some sort of a childhood sort of theme. So if you know of any musicians or whatever, let us know.
No Raffy though.
No Raffy.
No, please. I've had enough of that in my day.
Yeah, the kindergartners love him.
Oh yeah, he's a big hit.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Palace.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
All right, news headlines for today. This one out of the UK. Stress costs us... costs us 7 years of sleep. Britons lose 7 years of sleep over their lifetime because of stress at work, a poll shows. The average worker misses out on 9 hours of kip a week.
Kip?
Kip. That's, I'm assuming that means sleep.
Okay.
In, for the Brits.
I learned something new today.
There you go. Could always need more kip. So a whole night's sleep, 7 to 9 hours of kip a week due to job worries and irregular shift patterns. Doctors fare worse, surviving on average of 5.6 hours instead of the recommended 8 a night. That means they lose 2 nights sleep a week or 13 years over a working life. Mechanics do best, averaging 7.6 hours, with many getting as much as 9 hours shut-eye a night. And this was a quiz put on by Travelodge, the hotel, 2,000 people in 25 professions. So, if you're stressed out, it's what, harder to get sleep at night, and yeah, you're losing this in this case up to 7 years of sleep. It has the top 10 worst sleepers. It mentioned the doctors sleep an average of 5.6 hours a night.
Yikes.
Which makes me think: do I want a doctor working on me who has only slept for five?
Right.
A half hour
that
of
means
sleep.
Two more nights of sleep each week.
Yeah, that's whoa. Okay. Number two, company directors. I'm assuming it's like CEO type people or whatever. 5.8. Train drivers, emergency services, tradesmen, nurses are in that list. The best sleepers, as it said, was mechanic, 7.6.
You know that what that says? Maybe they're not as, like, maybe they're more honest than people think if they get such a good night's sleep.
Yeah, there you go. I should point out the housewife is number 9 on worst sleepers. I'm surprised that's not higher.
Not a surprise.
Average housewife gets 6.5 hours of sleep a night. Hmm. Her husband probably gets a good 8.5, I would say. Okay, best sleepers again. Number 2 after mechanic, leisure industry. Right?
Like, what are some examples?
I would think that's probably, you know, people in the travel, entertainment kind of. I don't know, but just that it's called leisure industry.
If you've chosen
you shouldn't
a profession,
be stressed out with
a profession that fits under that, then you're probably doing pretty good.
Oh, here's another one. Third, call center staff. This is amazing to me. People who are staffing call centers, I would think they'd be the most stressed. But I guess they have no worries about disrupting you during dinner to be calling you. Well, I guess that's not telemarketers. Just people
call center.
Taking calls,
yeah.
I guess, huh?
Maybe like in sales or I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Number 4, self-employed. People who are in self-employed get pretty good hours of sleep.
Well, it says they get an average of 7.1 a night, and that's about what I get, so.
Yeah. Not too bad. I guess probably people who are self-employed are doing something they enjoy doing. And so they don't have all that extra working for the man stress going up for them.
Huh, interesting.
All right, next headline. Stress makes your teeth fall out.
Yuck.
All right. This is from Sweden's News in English, the local, it's called. Sweden's News in English. A new study published by the Karolinska Institute concludes that anxiety, stress, and long-term depression can add up to oral hygiene difficulties and therefore early loss of teeth. Between 15 and 30% of Swedes suffer from periodontitis. Titus. Say that easy. Yeah, a severe gum disease that is the largest cause of tooth loss in adults. The person who conducted this survey, and Sophie Johansson, believes her study could help treat dental patients better. Unfortunately, however, you don't talk about your mental health with your dentist or hygienist these days, she says. We should pay better attention to that side of things. Participants who answered yes to the question, do you feel anxious in your everyday life, were more likely to have dental problems than those who answered no.
That's
so there you go. We talk about this thing called adultitis all the time. And, you know, who knew that being stressed out, having adultitis, could actually make your teeth fall out?
That's gross.
And it sounds, okay, it sounds crazy, but it's true. Because, as we both know, I was not blessed with amazing genes when it comes to the dental area, okay? I probably could melt down my fillings and, you know, make some money off of it, okay? But I have had times where I'll go in there and the hygienist will notice that if my gums are in worse shape than normal, if it's during a stressful time, she'll say that can have an effect. And it does. So I could see that this study is right on just based on my own experiences of when things are going a little bit more crazy than usual.
Right.
Tends to have an effect with that. So,
well, and I think people are aware of like the stress, like the when people grind their teeth at night,
mm-hmm.
you know, that can be caused by stress. So
yep.
that's just one small thing that's a very obvious thing that people notice or that kind of thing.
Yep. All right, headline. This from FoxNews.com. Play-Doh commissions Play-Doh cologne to plug 50th anniversary. To plug its 50th anniversary, Play-Doh, the aromatic modeling clay, has commissioned a cologne that smells just like Play-Doh. We're about bringing everyday memories to life in a bottle, says Christopher Gale, founder of Demeter Fragrance Library, where Eau de Play-Doh joins 170 other scents, including dirt, which smells like a plowed field, snow, tomato, and fresh pumped gasoline. Oddly enough, a lot of women requested that. To be honest, you may not want to wear it as a cologne, Gale says of his firm's singular sensation, but you might just want to take it out of your purse or glove compartment now and then and just smell it. Why does a fragrance have to be about announcing yourself? What do you think about this?
Wow.
Play-Doh cologne.
Well, I am one of the...
Cologne. Fresh pumped gasoline cologne. What is the deal with that?
I'm one of those people who love the smell of Play-Doh.
Yes.
But I have found out that some people don't. They don't like the smell.
Really?
Play-Doh. Right.
What communist country did you grow up in?
I don't know, but I could totally see I could be one of those people that would keep a little jar
mm-hmm.
of, you know, Play-Doh smelling fragrance just not to spray it on myself, but that's just...
Well, have that little reminder, like it said.
They say smell is the number one trigger to your memories.
Right.
Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
So if you smell something that... You know, and it brings you back somewhere. That's going to be the heightened sense. That's
mm-hmm.
number one sense.
Yeah, I was kind of looking into this company, and they have all kinds of scents like cookie dough and all this stuff.
Ooh.
And some of our candles that we have on our store are similar to that. We've actually had a fresh dirt candle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious about, you know, maybe we can pull some of these things and offer them on our store. I don't know how well they'll go, but it would be kind of neat to try with the whole childlike. Looking back sort of thing.
We're always trying to get like all five senses involved in everything we do because, you know, the more senses you involve in something, the more enjoyable it'll be. So that's interesting.
I think this Play-Doh clone, it says it's $19 an ounce.
Wow.
So you get an ounce of it for $19. So, which if you're not putting it on yourself,
right.
you're just using it to smell it, that's a bargain
right
there.
That's true.
Or you could just... carry a little can of Play-Doh with you for about 50 cents, whichever you want to do. All right, let's top story right here.
Yes, we're talking today about what people wanted to be when they grew up and what significance does that have to us now that we're adults. And Jason talks a little bit, you talk about this in one of your programs that you give.
I do.
To families. And
in my book too, I think is.
Yeah,
talks about
I think
that.
It does. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that is just fun, and I saw this a lot, when I was teaching kindergarten was asking kids what they want to be when they grow up. And it just brings back a lot of fun memories and of their big dreams that they have for their life. And it's kind of funny sometimes to hear what they think are realistic options. Okay. And a good example of this is our niece and godchild, Kerrigan, who is 3, soon to be 4 in July. But a couple months ago, the question got put, you know, asked of her, of like, what does she want to be when she grows up? And she had a list of things. She had 3
very
things.
Very confident, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. Yeah, she knew. And it's funny, too, 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, they often have more than one thing. It's like, I'm going to be this. Not or, but it's and.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be this and this and this and this. And so hers, do you remember what they were? One had to do with you.
Yeah, artist.
Yes,
yep,
she said, I want to be an artist. I want to be and a cheerleader
mm-hmm.
and a bunny.
Indeed, a bunny.
A bunny.
You heard that correctly.
Not for Halloween, as a career. She would like to be a bunny.
Yep.
So I think that's
who doesn't?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, come on.
The hopping, the Easter baskets.
Yeah. Good yeah. stuff.
Yeah. So I thought that was just a funny example. The other thing that
do they offer that at like Duke? They
I think like it's a... more of a trade school kind
oh,
of thing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. Very specialized.
Yeah. The thing that was cool, we did a unit thing in kindergarten where we talk about careers and stuff. And a lot of kids would pick what their parents were. So that was always kind of neat.
Look up to that.
Yeah, and just what they know, mm-hmm. you know. So we'd get that a lot. There was one project we did where it was, I want to be, and it was like blank. And there's this place, I worked in a town called Stoughton. And so there's this big company in Stoughton called Stoughton Trailers. And so someone wrote, I want to be a Stoughton Trailers. So
it's, well, the question wasn't, you know, phrased correctly.
No,
you know.
Right.
Well, now we have pulled this thing off this blog. It's called The Old New Thing. And it had some answers. I guess the seventh graders had to write a paper of what they wanted to be when they grow up.
And, yeah.
And we got some good ones from here, too. You want to read some of those?
Sure. Coming from a seventh grade mind. So go back to seventh grade if you want to.
Yeah.
A couple of them. Someone said, the best job in the world would be to be a dog consultant. Sounds like it'd be interesting.
I wonder how well dogs pay.
I don't know, but I know their owners pay quite a bit.
Yeah, this is true.
I like to blow up stuff, someone said.
I like to blow up stuff. Well, yeah. There's a lot of careers for that.
Your brother
for sure.
might be interested in that. He's a chemist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Counseling teens is a low-stress job, and you get paid a lot of money, this person said.
I think that's wrong on both counts, isn't it? It seems to be a pretty high stress. And I don't know that they're all driving around in Ferraris, but...
more like Chevettes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting. There's no better job than getting paid to argue.
A lawyer, said. Future lawyer, yep. right there. Okay. Yep.
I would slide down the helicopter ropes and bust in to save the day. So we've got kind of a superhero.
Superhero kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Firefighter.
Last maybe? One. I wanted to be a writer, but writing this paper makes me think I shouldn't.
There you go. Sometimes you have to try things to see if you're really suited for them. I like this one about this one who wanted to be an architect. He said, make everything extremely simple. Architects have to deal with the puny-minded construction workers around them.
Not so puny muscles,
no,
though, so
no.
Be careful, buddy.
Interesting what perspectives kids have on these things. But one thing Kim mentioned that I talk about is that what you might find sort of interesting to think about is that whatever you wanted to be when you were a kid, so if you could think back that far, that is actually a clue as to what you're supposed to be doing as a grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I know... For me, I wanted to be a superhero. This is my number one choice. And you have to kind of dig a little bit deeper because, again, superhero, well, maybe I should get a full-body Batman costume.
Maybe
I should
not.
Get the Batmobile. You know,
that
I wonder if you can get one sort of like that.
Yeah.
But for me, if I just kind of use myself as an example, I wanted to be a superhero. But, of course, I had a backup plan. I was going to be George Lucas. That was my backup plan, the creator of Star Wars. And as I look back on it, you know, say, like, why did I want to be those things? Well, for a superhero, I wanted to really make a difference. That's kind of what it boiled down to. And then George Lucas, the thing that was cool about him was that he used his imagination to create all these characters and stories that entertain people all over the world. And so now if I look at myself, I'm a cartoonist, and I somehow have been able to use my imagination to create stories and characters and things that entertain people. I'm not going to say millions of people over the world, but, you know, one at a time, right?
More every day.
That's right. And I'll get emails quite a bit from people, you know, saying that they really enjoy it. It gets their day off to a good start, things like that. And, you know, and that's, I think, my little way of making a difference. So
yeah.
In a way, that's what I wanted to be sort of ties in. And plus, I have a pretty good collection of superhero shirts. So I've even
toys.
Tied the cool outfits in there.
Yeah.
What about not you? And like, have you kind of thought about that, of what you wanted to be?
Yeah, I had a pretty long string of time where I wanted to be a vet. Mm-hmm. And
we come back to the dog colorblind science fair test. This is like three podcasts in a row.
Yeah, and we don't need to keep talking about it.
All right, well, I'm just pointing out something that seems to be
It was genius, okay?
Okay. Anyway, okay,
so I wanted to be a vet, and obviously I went into early childhood education, which if you've ever been in a kindergarten or preschool classroom, there's not much difference between, you know, kind of gathering small children and gathering a bunch of animals.
Sheep. Monkeys.
It's kind of helping the helpless. Uh-huh. And even though I've transitioned out of that career, there's not much different between that and kind of helping kids in general with the mission that we have of, you know, kind of encouraging people to escape adulthood, encouraging, you know, families to kind of nurture their opportunities they have with their kids. And so I think it just translates. I mean, there's not a lot. My day-to-day looks a lot different, but the mission of what we're doing
goal.
Is
yeah.
the same.
Because a lot of the stuff we talk about is trying to help out families too,
right.
You know, and which helps kids. So
definitely kind of trying to improve the lives of kids and helping adults kind of get back to that simpler mindset. So,
yeah.
You know, whether it's big kids or little kids, trying to kind of help them in any way I can. So
it's kind of an interesting way to think about it, too, is when we were in California just recently, we had a chance to talk. You remember that guy we talked to, that older gentleman? And he had said that he wanted to be, when he was a little kid, he used to watch, he's probably 70, 75, something like that.
Right.
He used to watch those old cowboy movies, the ones with the guys in the white hats and the guys in the black hats. And now he is a tax guy, helps mm-hmm. people with their taxes and things like that. And you might think that is completely nothing to do with being a cowboy, you know, the white
the
hat.
Good guy.
Yeah, he wanna always be the guy in the white hat. But he told us that he kind of looks at himself when he works with someone to get their taxes done and get them a nice tax return back. He looks at himself as the guy in the white hat and the IRS as mm-hmm. the guys in the black hat. So I thought that was really cool of how he was able to take that of what he wanted to be when he was little and apply it to now. And then he's
right.
actually doing that. So
he's kind of
cool.
saving the day for, you know, each person at a time
yep.
with their finances. So it is pretty neat.
One of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on
Wheel of Fish!
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing and I get a prize.
All right, our promotion, last month's promotion, we talked about, you know, relaxing and things like that, and we asked for feedback on what was your favorite way to relax. And we got a winner. Her name was Tanya. Kim, you have,
yeah,
want to read a chunk of that email?
This is really a cool idea, and she's got some neat perspective here on relaxing. So she says, when my attention is wandering away from what I'm doing rather than what I... Wait, let me start again. When my attention is wandering away from what I'm doing toward what I'd rather be doing, I jot it down on a list. Usually it's something like a piece of jewelry to make, a drawing idea, a home movie to edit in a certain way, or something creative. When I have time to goof off, I go back to that list and choose something fun to do. Then I just lose myself in the creating. Now, some might argue that if you're doing something, you're not relaxing. When I am relaxing or being still, like being a lump in front of the TV, I'm not relaxing. I'm vegging. I am not refreshed afterwards. I don't feel the knots in my shoulders loosen. It's just that I'm too tired to do anything more than take in the images being fed to my retinas. When I'm making something, I feel whole and refreshed and relaxed.
So that's good.
Yeah, that was such a really cool perspective on like the difference between vegging and relaxing.
Totally.
That you don't have to not be doing anything. Like like she said, being creative and kind of doing some of those fun things that she enjoys is relaxing for her.
Right. I think for me that really fits in well because, you know, there's certain things when you're working and you're doing stuff that you would rather be doing. You know, like especially coming from a creative standpoint, there's all these little things. But then when I get a chance to actually do something, I forget what I wanted to do.
Right.
So I think the idea of writing stuff down to be able to come back to it, and then the whole thing of engaging your mind in something you enjoy to do, I think really does go a long way in relaxing you as opposed to sitting in front of the TV like a lump, as
right.
she says.
Right.
So for that, Tanya, you are the winner. And fittingly, your super cool random special prize, is a Kim and Jason journal.
So you have a place to write your ideas down.
There you go. So we'll get in touch with you and we'll send that out to you this month. This month's promotion?
Yes. This month we're asking, what did you want to be when you grew up? So everyone who emails us will be entered to win a super cool special prize. So we're just curious, you know, what were your thoughts when you were little? Did you want to be an animal? Did you want to be
a bunny?
A bunny? Yes.
A Stoughton trailer?
Let us know.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-it-all.
All right, K&J update. I'll just kind of give you a quick update on kind of what we've been doing. We have...
Where are we?
We are in Wisconsin, but, you know, finally, we've kind of taken the world tour the last couple weeks. Started out in Indianapolis, then came back here for a program in Wisconsin. Headed out to San Jose, San Francisco, Modesto, California area, up to Michigan, to the Thumb?
The Thumb.
And then back here to Wisconsin. So it's been kind of fun. It was one of those treks where you had to kind of really just kind of, what's the word? Not let little things bother you.
You had to take one day at a time.
Yeah, because it was
pretty overwhelming.
But about 12 days of moving from one state to the next. So I guess one of the highlights that I can think of was a program that we did in Indianapolis. It was a daytime event. It was kind of open to at-home parents or, you know, self-employed people, anyone who can get out during the day, but not necessarily parents. But that was one of my favorite ones because I think people, the conversations that were had, and Jason did this activity from the escape plan about writing a haiku, and it was just really a lively crowd. And I think a lot of times grown-ups, especially parents, just put so much into their families and their kids. And Jason, since you do so many family programs, we see parents a lot with that. But it was neat to see some of the same kind of families without their kids just kind of doing something for themselves.
Yeah.
You know? I heard somebody on her cell phone in the hallway who was trying to get off the cell phone saying, "You tell him that I'm doing this for me right now and this is my time," you know? And I'm like, good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
That was awesome.
It's kind of a neat thing. So any highlights on your
end? Yeah, I have to say, well, we obviously parted ways when for Michigan. Because you had to go to a conference in Chicago. And so I ended up taking my dad along with me to Michigan, and we had a couple of speaking engagements up there. He helped man the table with our books and stuff like that. So
I've lost my job because he's like so much better than
he
me.
He did a pretty good job. But there was one in Bad Axe, and yes, Bad Axe, that's A-X-E, where they had a really big crowd, really good turnout. And I'll tell you, we talk about the program is open from ages 5 to 105. And I would not be surprised if there was someone that was 5 and someone that was 105. There's and everyone range. In between. There was a big range, and it was a really big, energetic audience. Really had a fun time. You know, there's something about the energy in the crowd when they get into it. But and they came from, like, I think, you know, towns as far as like 20 miles away.
Okay.
And so that was really fun. And it's always fun for me afterwards to be able to talk to some of the people and the kids. And, you know, a lot of times their mom or dad will buy them a comic book, and I always try to draw a little something in there for them and something extra, you know. So that was kind of fun. And then obviously just the chance to spend a few days with my dad talking one-on-one, the two of us. I don't know that we've ever really had that opportunity, just the two of us. So
for that long of a time.
Yeah, for that long of a time. So that was really cool. But it was kind of neat too, just like being in California, and we were in Palo Alto, so it's nearby Apple Country there.
Yeah.
So didn't get to go by the campus or anything like that, but
we did go by eBay. And
yeah, we drove Yahoo? By eBay, and we saw Yahoo, Yahoo's building. So it was pretty cool. So
one of my favorite things from California was we got to cross the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yep.
So that was just surreal.
That was neat.
I felt like I was on the beginning of Full House or something.
Yeah, and went to Muir Woods also there, which we get to see some redwoods, which I think is the place where they filmed, speaking of George Lucas, part of Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
In the Endor forest there. So I kept fully expecting to see an Ewok or two, but there were no Ewok sightings, but the trees themselves were quite amazing. So it was really cool. And we always try to put a little bit of sightseeing into these things because, you know, we're working when we're out there. But if we can squeeze in some time, who knows if we'll be back. So it's kind of fun to do that stuff.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. We have some feedback. I guess this feedback section. I got an email from Ethan Elkind, and you may remember him. He was the fellow whose song "Children" we used in our last podcast.
And we love that song.
He said, "I just wanted to thank you guys for using the song to congratulate you on a thoroughly entertaining and enjoyable podcast. Anybody who uses Anchorman quotes is okay in my book." He says, "I'll be coming out with a brand new CD in a few months, and we'll email you a copy of some of the tracks in case you're interested in using any or all. No legal hassles or fees required." That's what I like to see. Cheers and keep up the good work.
Well, cool.
Thank you, Ethan. That was kind of you to mention that you enjoyed it. And I would definitely look forward to hearing more of your stuff because it sounded really cool.
Yeah,
so,
I like his style.
Again, you guys can find out more about him. If you go to our last podcast in the show notes, there's a link to his song and his stuff on GarageBand. So you can take a listen to everything that he does. I got another email a couple weeks ago from a fellow named Bob Henry, actually from Madison, Wisconsin. He wrote, "Cool. Hi, Kim and Jason. Just recently discovered your website and podcast after reading your comic and ads in Tidbits of Dane County." It's a little small newspaper around here. "I turned 40 last year and have a severe case of adultitis, but realized that curing it does not require $100 an hour visits to a psychologist at Dean or GHC, the local medical clinics. This never really worked anyway. I have listened to all 8 of your podcasts several times and am looking forward to the next one. I especially like the one about the 8 adultitis curing movies. I happen to already have owned 3 of the 8 before I listened to that podcast: Ferris Bueller, Forrest Gump, and Christmas Story. Other ways I have found to cure adultitis have been reading the Harry Potter books and or watching the movies, and also watching The Lord of the Rings. My mom also got me, my mom of all people got me hooked on Harry. Another great escape I found is the Aragon series of books." Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. "And the first of the series is becoming a movie, which will be released around Christmas time this year. I just sent my email for a daily dose of your comic. The once a week in Tidbits is not enough for my case of adultitis. Looking forward to more of Kim and Jason, the comic, the website, and podcast. Keep up the good work. Bob."
Wow, thanks, Bob.
Thanks a lot, Bob. That was really, really nice to get that email, and I'm glad you're enjoying the podcasts. Reminder for anyone, you can sign up to get Kim and Jason absolutely free. delivered fresh to your email box. Just go to our homepage and you can sign up for that. But it's nice to get feedback.
Definitely.
It's also nice if anyone has any questions. I mean, we do a lot of weird stuff, and being a cartoonist, sometimes people ask questions, curious about that. So if you have any questions about anything, for me, Kim, both of us, whatever, any comments or feedback on how to make this show better, we'd love to hear it. Just send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com. And if you'd be so kind to help us out, vote for us on Podcast Alley. If you can place a vote, which you can find a link in our show notes again, it'll help our rankings go higher, which will allow more people to find out about this show.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
All right, now the cool thing part of our show. This is actually kind of hard to choose this week because since our last podcast, we have kind of had a lot of cool things inundating our office. When the FedEx guy comes or the UPS guy or gal comes. Yeah, the buzzer has been ringing like crazy because if you haven't noticed, our website, our store, the lemonade stand has been taking quite a... what's the word? It's just...
Different look.
Yeah.
Different change.
There's a lot happening. So take a peek. But anyway, one of the cool things is one of my favorite things that we've added to our website is a product called Cup of Yarn. And it's kind of like, you know, like a Slurpee.
I do.
Okay.
7-Eleven. Big gulp.
Big gulp Slurpee. That's like...
icy kind of thing.
Yeah, an icy. It's like in that kind of a container, like clear plastic with the little dome thing on the top. And basically inside is yarn. And then out, you know, the little hole is like two knitting needles that are acting kind of like as the straws.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this totally creative take on... a hobby, you know, it's like the knitting.
A scarf, right?
Right, yes. You, mm-hmm. Basically, it's like the directions and everything to make a scarf. But the coolest thing is like the flavors they have. Mm-hmm. So the ones we're offering on our website are Rainbow Sherbet. So you can imagine the colors that go along with this, but you got to check out our site to look at them. Very Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Cool Mint, which is one of my favorites. It's like blues and greens. And Passion Fruit. So I'm trying to take up crocheting, which is, you know, kind of on and off kind of hobby that I'm trying to do. But if you're looking for a new hobby and, you know, it's kind of a bite-sized chunk just to see, like, if you want to try it. You know,
yep.
Knitting is getting to be more and more popular every day. So just kind of a fun, cool thing.
And the other thing I would submit, we have these journals. They're called Between Me and You journals.
Yeah.
And they have one like this one I have here is Between Me and You, and it's for your mom. And basically what it is, you get this journal, you give it to your mom, and it has questions that she fills out and answers and then gives it back to you.
Yeah.
So, for instance, some of the questions in here, how long did you go out with dad? Any memorable experiences? What are your memories of being a teenager? Things you can ask, what do you think is my best quality? It's like the mom, you know, saying that to her daughter. What do you think is your best quality? Different. What have been your favorite travels? Any interesting stories? So it's really cool.
And thing to connect. You know?
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea. And we have some for mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. There's even one for honey.
Honey, yeah.
So like, you know, I think it would be good for someone who just started dating to get to know each other, or someone who's been married for 25 years.
Right.
Might be kind of cool to kind of reconnect. So. I think both of those things really tie in with what we're trying to build into the stores. Cool stuff for the young at heart and kind of cool stuff. So.
And just the connecting people, you
yeah.
know, mm-hmm. I think that's a really cool thing. So many times you get together with family and you just kind of sit in front of the TV and veg
be
away.
A lump.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Let your retinas be zoned in.
I want to be a lump when I grow up.
But at the same time, these kind of, like this journal idea just brings so many cool conversations out, you know?
Yeah.
What's up, Doc?
Now,
this won't hurt a bit.
Okay, today's prescription. It's pretty simple. Basing on the idea of what we've been talking about, think about what you wanted to be when you grew up, and then try to figure out why you wanted to be that. Okay, for some people, it might take a little bit of thought.
That's the tricky part.
Try to figure that out. You might need to ask a friend or a spouse or something like that. And here's the trick then. Once you get it figured out, ask yourself, are you doing anything similar to that? Anything along those lines? And I will tell you right now, if you're not, you probably have a huge heaping case of full-blown adultitis. That might be part of the reasons why.
You might be missing a few teeth.
Perhaps. Yes. Yes.
Look in the mirror, and for as many teeth as you're missing, that's how bad of a case you've got.
There you go. So that's something to think about for this episode.
Well, we're signing off. That's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes, featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. And for Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.